A couple more minutes here on The Paula Gordon Show with Neil Gabler, talking about Walt Disney because it is such an important subject in the world at large. Bill Russell, you may want to introduce this part of the conversation.
You know, we've, again, the platonic, the notion that ideal is static, and Disney is a screaming example of a constantly shifting sense of what is, you know, what matters and what is perfect and what is perfectible. And, you know, the only way you can get even close to a resolution is follow him to the end of his life and look at where he landed. Not necessarily, you know, if he'd been immortal, he'd still be off wandering some other place, but he wasn't. And he hit, you know, the last great frontier for him was
Epcot. You know, if you look at Walt Disney's career, first he begins by creating, you know, perfect worlds on the screen with his animations. Then he brings those perfect worlds, when he feels the animations have gone as far as they can possibly go, into the real world by creating Disneyland. But nevertheless, as we said earlier, there's a barrier between Disneyland and the real world. Walt sees his legacy, and he does think of the legacy commensurate with Walt Disney. He thinks of himself in those terms as bringing Disneyland into the real world, by which I mean tearing down the berm and converging or merging Disneyland with the real world. And that is Epcot, his experimental, prototypical community of tomorrow.
But
which
that's not what we think of as Epcot.
No. Epcot now is a glorified World's Fair. Walt Disney's Epcot was a fully operational city of the future. No cars, monorails and people movers, no waste removal except underground. It was designed with concentric circles, with a downtown area and then a recreational area and then a band of schools and churches and then a residential area and then another recreational area.
Sounds pretty good.
Well, it sounded great. However, there was one problem. The flaw in the system is, I mean, Walt was somewhat Mussolini-esque in designing this Epcot. The problem is that we live in a democracy, and he envisioned that 100,000 people were going to live in his experimental city, but Walt didn't want them to have any real rights over their lives. He wanted to control their lives. And I write in the book about the torturous way in which Walt tried to reconcile his command of Epcot with the democratic imperatives of America. It wasn't easy. And of course, Epcot was not built in Walt Disney's lifetime. In fact, at the end of his life, after he's dead, one of his collaborators goes to Roy, Walt's brother, and says, we've really got to build Epcot as a memorial to Walt. This is what everything was headed toward in Walt's life. And Roy said, Walt's dead.
Whoa.
And so was Epcot.
And in closing, there is a sense that Walt never quite lost some of the beauty of the young Walt.
Interesting thing about Walt Disney, a case of arrested development, and that's often said about individuals, but Walt Disney really, because of Roy Disney, was able to live within his imagination in a way that almost no one else in American business is able to do.
In American business?
Yes.
Well, we'll have to continue this conversation because there's so much more to be said, and we'll read the rest of the book so as to be able to do that when you return the next time. Neil Gabler,
I look forward to that.
We thank Neil Gabler for Walt Disney and for caring so much about what America creates and shares with the world. I'm Paula Gordon. I wish you well.